On today's Restump podcast, we'll recap the weekend's game against Essendon. That's three in a row now. We've had a three-game winning streak, and to back it up, we've gone with a three-game losing streak. It's a tough game to watch, but we're lucky we've got the Chief here to talk us through it right after we listen to Google Bordello, Start Wearing Purple.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah. Start wearing purple, wearing purple.
Welcome to the Restart Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, and I'm joined by a man who's been cutting film all day, as if his name's Amber. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Hello, Jojo.
You know, someone already does it. You're chasing a gig that's already been filled.
No, I'm a poor man's Amber. She's very good at it.
Well, maybe who else are you going for? David Hale. You want the assistant coach's gig down there?
No, that was who sent that in? Oh, I always do this. I forget the name. Who wants to have a chat about David Hale and all that? No, the difference with me is that it takes me all day to do one tiny little clip. Amber does about 400 of them in an hour. So,
well, you know that there's an easy way to do it than holding up the, you know, the VHS handheld recorder and filming the TV.
No, there's not.
There is. There's much easier ways to do it these days.
No, you got to press too many buttons. I'm screwed when you got to do that. So, we're having a look at some Rory Lobb content and some Brennan Cox content. We might put it up a bit later, on.
If you can figure out how to upload it.
Yeah, exactly. I should say, you might put it up a bit later on.
Mate, that game yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought. I really struggled to watch it. I didn't get to watch it live, so I had to watch a replay already knowing the result and knowing the umpiring debacle, if you want to call it that. But I found that game just tremendously hard to sit through.
Did you really? I guess you would in your instance where you did know the result. But it wasn't a great game. It wasn't, it wasn't a pretty game. It wasn't highly skilled. The only redeeming feature really was that it was close.
And a close game. Great that it was close. But it probably, I don't even think it should have been close, should it?
Well,
I feel like we had them. Yeah. I feel like that was a game when you're watching it, I understand why we lost 100%.
Yeah.
But that was a game we 100% should have won, but you knew the whole time, even though I knew the result, I reckon watching it live, you would have had a pretty good feeling you were probably going to lose. It was a game we always lose.
No, I had the other feeling. I had the feeling that it was a terrible game and we weren't going well, but we had it under control. That's how I felt. And then the last quarter was abysmal, but it was. But I tell you what, Jody, I'm sick of dealing on the negatives. I know it was a negative. My whole review of this game has been based around the three stars, Jojo: Sean Darcy, Adam Chair, and Caleb Sarong. Our future is so dependent on those three guys.
You're leaving out Brayshaw?
No, well. Look, I mean, you can throw Brayshaw and even Hayden Young into that.
Well, Hayden Young hasn't done much yet, but I mean, Andy Brayshaw would have to be close to our most consistent player this season, wouldn't he?
Yeah, consistent, but I think impactful. You're good looking at, I think Adam Chera has just made, he's going to make that the big difference that we thought. I mean, we saw it on the weekend. Sean Darcy just, you're heading for the best ruckman in the league, Jojo. I was absolutely blown away by his game yesterday. And Caleb Sarong, I'm going to get to him later, but far out, mate. We just cannot lose any of these three guys. And if we do, like they're the pillars that we built. They're the foundations of the rebuild. And I know there's
It's not a rebuild.
Well, you can call it restart, rewind, whatever you want. But
I think we went at pains to avoid that. What was it, 6 years ago when we started this process?
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And I think we're at pains to mention it's not a rebuild.
No, we haven't rebuilt. But if we lose any of these three guys, where we want to be as a club is going to be a hell of a lot further down the road than where we even think it is. So, yes. But you know what? I know the game was disappointing, JoJo, but and we probably should have snatched defeat, but that's where we are. And I think we were up against a team of very similar ability. They're at the very similar stage that we are. And nearly all the measurable stats, game stats, were very even. So, and we got done by a kick. Had we not got done by a kick, well, everybody's thinking differently.
Don't you think in the way the game was played? I mean, I think JL mentioned in the press conference he thought we were the better team for the longest period during the game, which is great. But, I mean, this has happened all year. When the heats come on and the pressure moments have kind of presented themselves, we've gone to water as a unit. We haven't stood up. And that happened again in the last quarter.
Yeah, it did a bit in the last quarter. I'll tell you where, and people are banging on about the missed opportunities from the goal kicking and all that. And that's an absolute obvious major problem that we need to address. But for mine, go back to the first 10 minutes of the game, JoJo. That's where we should be looking at as the difference.
We gave away cheap scores to start out, didn't we?
Oh, and I know we were playing, you know, playing away, we're in foreign territory, a ground we haven't beaten Essendon at for 10 years. We had to contend with their crowd, or influential crowd, if you want to call it. But the Bombers were astronauts, JoJo. They were floating through so much space, it wasn't funny. They were moving the ball with ease. They had enough time and space to drop marks, to fumble, and then still recover and hit a target that was also in space. And that first 10 minutes, where they put three goals on the board pretty quickly, that was a difference in the game for mine. And we'll get to the last quarter as well, but when you get off to a start like that against a team that you're probably comparable against, very even against, that hurt us the most. And I think I even flicked you a text message and I said, this isn't good. When, about 7 or 8 minutes in, I'm thinking I was getting concerned then. After that, I thought when we got back into the game, I thought we had it under control. But yeah, then the last quarter as well.
In that period, you're saying though, when we're back in the game and we hit the front, after half time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still so many instances where we didn't take our opportunities to go and extend the lead and put a gap in it and actually stamp our authority on the game. We're always leaving the door open for Essendon to do what they did and make a comeback and roll us.
Yeah, yeah. And when have we not done that in our career?
No, never. No, never. Yeah. It's a very Docker thing to do.
We've never been a club that puts clubs away, do we? Puts teams away.
But it's not even putting a team away. It's they were creating good opportunities going forward. I think we had a couple more inside 50s than the Bombers did over the course of the whole game.
Yeah.
We were just failing to capitalise on the opportunities, I thought. I thought we actually, some of it, you're saying goal kicking is not an issue. Some of those shots we missed, those should be just straight through the middle, shouldn't they?
I wasn't saying that wasn't an issue.
No, I'm saying it becomes an issue if then it means you're not taking your chances and pushing the margin out. Oh, I mean, there's a huge issue.
Absolutely huge issue. So, yeah, I just, but sometimes you can get away with it if other areas of your game are up to scratch, You just cannot start. Like we did yesterday, off the pace, half asleep, and not manning up. You just can't do it. But you're right, the goal kicking, the whole range of areas that we do obviously need to improve.
And I think that's the issue when you try and critique the performance. I think there's a whole lot of things that we're not doing right at the moment. So it's kind of pointless, just pointing out one or two. They're doing so much wrong at the moment in terms of the way that you'd imagine they're being instructed to play. It seems like there's maybe a little bit of confusion out there. I don't reckon it's clear that the 22 guys that take the field are all on the same page in terms of what they're meant to be doing with the ball or how they're meant to be defending even at the moment.
No, I tend to agree. And it's so different to last year. It seemed to be last year we were such a cohesive unit. Signal where we need to improve and the areas that, and from week to week, we would improve. And it just seemed everybody knew their role. Everybody, to some extent, performed it. But we just seem too incohesive now. And maybe that's not the case, but that just is how it appears from an outsider looking in.
Sean Darcy, get to some of the positives. We don't want to talk about negatives all day, but Sean Darcy seems to play his best game of his career now just about every other week, doesn't he? I mean, that game on the weekend was huge, and his last quarter was massive.
It was crazy, wasn't it? Wasn't it unbelievable? He is fast becoming one of the best rucks in the game, Jeter. His craft is improving. I think the mids could help him out a bit with that too. I still think they're expecting too much of him. I don't think they're running to space or to provide great option for him. But I just, it's his clearance work. It's his marking, his around-the-ground influence. You know, it's through the roof. Every club in the league is going to be asking the question, Jojo, about his future.
I think the other thing with him, though, and we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, you know, just making sure we're taking advantage of those taps. I mean, his effective tap percentage, you know, hitting to a target and hitting to a dangerous space, he's up there with Nick Nat in terms of his efficiency as a ruckman at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. And he's doing a shed load more around the ground, you know. He's actually now a dangerous player, you know. And you could not have said that about him. I mean, we sort of had thoughts that he would get there, but it was, you know, in the last year or two, you know, there were doubts creeping in. People had doubts and people bagging the hell out of him over the last 18 months.
I don't know if people were bagging him. I think a lot of people on the same page as us. And I reckon pre-season, what you wanted to see out of him was greater resilience. You didn't want to see him go down injured. He hasn't done that this year, really. He's managed to work through little niggles and hits and bumps and whatever else he's got up. Maybe he's gone to the bench, but he's come back on and played out the game. We haven't seen Rory Lobb have to take over in the ruck or, you know, anyone have to come pinch hit in the ruck, really, for the court since he's been the number one ruck. And I think the other thing we wanted to see preseason was, you know, we didn't think we had this mobile ruckman who would get around the ground and get 20 touches, even though he did on the weekend. So we were saying, you know, use your physicality in contests, you know, help your teammates create space and get forward and kick goals. Yep. So he's at the moment, he's tick, tick, tick on you know everything that everyone's ever wanted from him or asked from him. So in terms of Sean Darcy this year, he's absolutely delivered on his potential. And I don't think anyone was bagging him, but I just know personally, that's what I wanted to see growth in. And he's grown tremendously in all the areas he had to.
Yeah. The heat, people were bagging him. The heat we cop when we put out positive stuff about him, the heat we cop for that last year. So, no, they were begging. But you're right. He is just growing in leaps and bounds, and he's ticked all the boxes, hasn't he? And I really do. I'm scared now because, honestly, clubs are going to be, you know, there's going to be 17 other clubs coming out saying, Darcy, where do you want to play? And I will say, Sean Darcy, if he'd be listening, no doubt. We picked you up at pick 38, I think it was, in the 2016 draft. There was 15 Victorian picks, picks from Victorian teams between less than 38 that did not pick you up, that overlooked you. So we're the ones that gave you a chance. So stick with us.
We're not moving. We've moved from the we've got the best, brightest future. Stick with us because we're going to have success to guilting him into staying. Is that right?
Yes. That's what we're at, JoJo. That is where we're at. Okay. Use any leverage we've got. So
that's almost last gasp saloon kind of stuff when you get to guilting people, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It seems to work at times, though.
The other boys, I reckon, that showed us decent signs. Sarong played a good game on merit. He really chopped him out and contributed himself on going the other way.
Yeah. We've got to spend some time on him, JoJo. I was horrified when, I don't know what it was on, I saw David King on something. He had the audacity to suggest that Sarong was picking off people when he bumped into Zach Merritt. Now, 1 week we're getting accused.
Wasn't that Darcy Tucker who checked him?
No, Sarong.
Was that the one that we gave away the 50-meter got a penalty for?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they just miscalled the name. I think it was Darcy Tucker, and he hardly touched him.
Wasn't it? It was Sarong because even Walters went up to Sarong after it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another one.
But 1 week, right? 1 week we're getting accused of being bullied and not standing up to being bullied. The next week we get accused of picking off people. You know, what Kingy would suggest, it's not a good look for the game. What for who? Who doesn't like that? Unless, other than Zach's mum.
Well, the ones I saw, there was nothing in it. There was nothing in
it. There was nothing in it. The only risk Zach Merritt had of doing any injury was the self-inflicted, you know, you don't dive into a pool with no water. He would just dive, Jada. He just flopped over. So, and anyway, well, you, rather than harp on that, I loved his game. Why not sing the praise of a 20, this is to David King, why not sing the praise of a 20-year-old 22-gamer and the number he did on Zach Merritt, a 26-year-old, Jada, 150-gamer. Merritt averages 31 touches a game and nearly five marks. Caleb Strong held him to 22 touches, did not get a single mark. You know, he blanketed Merritt's influence.
I think the thing about Merritt's game as well, normally, you know, he's quite an attacking kind of style player. He's got a lot of score involvements. He gets involved in the chain that leads to score. And I thought that, you know, his touches didn't seem as dangerous as what they could have been. I thought, yeah, he really mitigated his influence.
Oh, and it takes us back to last year when, and I forgot about it till I saw him as a tagger. And remember when JL was playing him on Paddy Cripps and Paddy Dangerfield and all those guys last year?
Yeah.
Early on. He's another one, Joe. We just cannot afford to lose it whenever his contract comes up. We've just got to keep him.
Well, speaking of not affording to lose, and I think Adam Chera is someone we also can't afford to lose, but the talk's growing stronger and stronger that we are. The one moment that stands out in the game for me for Adam Chera was that kick to Walters in the last quarter where he seemed to pick a needle in the haystack and just nailed it, and then Walters went around and kicked that goal. That kick was incredible.
But he does it too often for it to be, you know, not a genuine skill in his arsenal. So I think we mentioned in the preview and quite a lot in recent weeks how desperate we were to get him back because he just makes that. I know we didn't get the win, but you just saw the influence and the difference he made, and that's what I mean about those players like you know Sarong and Chera, and Hayden Young to another extent. That's the level of player we need, and I know they're high-end draft picks, but players that actually hit a target. Can pick off those kicks, and they're not just, I don't know what you call them, list cloggers or something like that. You know, that's the level that we've got to keep, and that's the ones that we've got to build a team around.
No, you're right, I would include you didn't include him, but I'd include Andy Brayshaw. I thought he had a decent enough game. You know, you're not going to be the superstar and stand out in every single contest of the year, especially at their age, but. You know, if your so-so games are what he gave us on the weekend, I think that's a really good sign for him.
Oh, it's a great sign. And I'm not clear. He just doesn't have those elite skills that those other guys have got that are so damaging. Having said that, he is improving. And that kick he pulled off, I think it was in the last quarter to Mundy, that was as good as Chera's kick. So I don't know whether he could repeat that on a regular basis, but... you can't knock anything that guy's doing. And, you know, he's averaging 28 touches this year. So, I mean, a guy that's just a young kid that's getting in there and getting the ball like that, he's hard at it. 80% game time. He's just...
but he's another one that's improving, isn't he? I mean, we were looking for a goal-kicking midfielder. He seems to be trying. You know, he's kicked three in a game. He's trying to be more aggressive and more active forward or centre. He's another one that... You know, far be it like to include him with the rest of the team and say the team's not progressing. He's definitely progressing in his development.
Do you know what? I reckon there's only he's barely played a game where doesn't matter what's happened in the result. He has barely played a game that he's not one that could come off the ground and hold his head up.
Yeah.
Except the game where Andy Gaff King hit him. He couldn't hold his head up that day, Jojo. But every other game.
Well, someone had helped him out. Someone was holding his head up. I thought other couple of honourable mentions. I thought Tabs was pretty good up forward. Obviously wasted a few opportunities, but in the end of the day, he's kicked four goals too. He doesn't have a lot of help up there. Thought he was pretty decent. And I thought down back, Logue was solid enough. And I thought Cox had his moments as well as probably not having his moments. But we didn't have too many. I don't think we had too many standout winners across the board.
We didn't. I'll tell you who did. Who I was really wrapped with, Tabe Watson, JJ. He got beaten in a few contests, but I reckon he's grown in the short space that he's been in the team again. I thought his game was sort of effort based and courage riddled. And I think he's getting his confidence up because he's got a bit of speed. If you saw him a couple of times, you know, usually it's a Toby Watson's get the ball, handball it off, or kick it off. But he was attacking a couple of times he went for a run. And I liked it. I like where he's heading. I think he's heading in the right direction. Not saying, you know, he's a, you know, including him in that group with the others, but I like where he's heading, JoJo.
Following this game, I like to get on Twitter and read the comments and see how people are feeling. Really? I don't know. I like to gauge the reaction, see where, you know, it's an interesting time in Frio's kind of evolution. You know, we're in the midst of a rewire or a replumb or a restump or whatever we're going to call it.
Mm.
There seems to be a bit of a divide developing in the Frio fan base, I reckon. There's a lot of people that are upset. They've had enough with the non-competitive element of the team. And then there are others that are upset at the people getting upset about the, you know what I mean?
I do.
And it seems like it's black and white and you're on one side or the other. It's a tough time for Frio, I think. You got a three-game stretch isn't a long period of time to have to endure three losses, but it doesn't take long for the pressure to start to mount. And this one, I think, remember talking about at the start of the season with respect to Longmuir, is how much rope he'll get, especially from the fans, before the pressure starts to come. And I can just, it's not in the red zone yet, but I reckon we're approaching orange from yellow. There's a tiny bit of pressure starting to appear, I think.
I think you're right. And I think on some level, it's pretty unfair on JL.
Wait, I mean, but you've got this narrative of Essendon coming in, and to be honest, it's not entirely untrue that their team was not, I'd say they're more affected by injury than us. Is that fair? That was a bit of a shambles team they put together.
It was pretty, they lost a couple of goodies, but,
Well, they don't have a ruck. They don't have their probably, you know, one of their better starting mids in Shiel. They don't have Caldwell. Going. They've got a bunch of guys that would start. Yeah.
Your Stringer could have carved this up yesterday, couldn't he? So, you're probably right. But I just sort of think that, you know, we can forget very quickly that growth and improvement's not, it isn't linear. So, and I don't want to provide excuses for some of our games and parts of yesterday's game, but I still have that opinion that we overachieved last year. And, you know, you have these, you take two steps forward and then one step back and then you take another. You know, you don't, very rarely do clubs just go up on the one trajectory. And, you know, and for what are the reasons for that? I don't know, but I'm not someone who thinks, well, there's the base, now we go to the moon, you know, sort of thing. So
it's an interesting expression you just used.
Well, it's interesting I said that because I bought Ripple today, JoJo. I bought Ripple today, and evidently, I know nothing about it, but I bought Ripple. Evidently, that's what you do. You buy Ripple, you say, go to the moon or something like that, and you make millions. So that's what I did. So go to the moon. That's what you got to say. So, yeah, but I'm just not – I think we've always had a lot longer to go than what we thought from last year.
I reckon the thing that frustrates some people or a lot of people is the fact that you look at the better performers on the day, and Sunday's a perfect game to reflect back on, and the inconsistent performances aren't coming from the young guys who are re-stumping through. Like, the inconsistent and poor performances are coming through the middle-aged 100-gamer, 120-gamer guy that either has been around the club for a bit or someone that we've traded in or signed as a free agent that can't produce on a regular basis consistent footy, which is something that you'd probably assume you would get from those kind of guys, especially in contrast to the guy that's been playing 2 years of footy.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and I reckon top of the list of those guys that people have been complaining about, Rory Lobb, he's become the whipping boy.
Well, he has, but it's kind of quite deserved. Do you think?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think the complaints that people have on him, then it's definitely not unwarranted.
No, and I mean, yesterday we saw marginal improvement in his game, and But it's still not up to an acceptable level. And he just needs to do more of that, what he's capable of for longer, and sharpen up the basics. You know, there were several instances, and I think this is where we're getting to. I'm going to put up a little bit of vision later on. And it was his effort in defence when he got down there. And it was just horrible. You know, I think was it the Cale Hooker, mark, Jojo, I think. There was that. There was another instance where he took a mark. There was about 3 minutes left to go in the game. And he took a mark on 50 metres. Now, he's so stagnant. Is that the word? Stagnate? Liam Henry was in 30 metres of space, waving his arms around saying, get it to me. And Rory Love's just like, you know, hesitating and going back. And then instead of going back and saying, okay, I didn't take that option, I'm going to go back and have a crack and have a shot at it, which he should have done, he puts it on Tabs's head when he's in a crowd. So for a guy that's, what, 28, 27? I don't know what he is, Jojo. But he's got to get – I don't know if he can get better.
No, he's not getting better.
Yeah.
He's not getting better. So the Rory Lobb that you see right now you're getting diminishing returns more than likely on the Rory Lobb you're getting now for the rest of his playing career.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Part of the reason why we're, you know, that's the area, as you said, we should be looking at why we're not going anywhere.
But is the problem with Rory Lobb, though, it's not a physical one because he's got the physical attributes and the build to be you know, the most dominant forward ruck probably in the league, right? Like he's got the aerobic capacity to run. He can jump. Yep. He's got an amazing set of hands to take a clunk inside forward 50.
Yep.
But he lacks that kind of, you know, I don't know whether it's a physicality or a mental edge to just go out there and kill the ball when he needs to, or, you know, hold his ground when he needs to. I think I could shift him off his line.
I think you could. And that's the problem. And that right there is the issue, is that, yeah, he's, you know what I say, do the, you know, Tarzan play like Tarzan, looks like Tarzan play like Jane line, but.
Well, you wheeled that out pretty regularly, don't you?
Yeah, I did. He's the one that just, and you don't want to pick on one bloke, but, and you know, there was I saw a bit of people getting angry because he was laughing after the game. Now, I've got no issue with that. If you leave everything out on the park and then you get beat on your merits and, you know, you understand you've got football in perspective and once the final siren's gone. But if you put in efforts like that and then you're laughing after the game, no wonder fans get their back up, Jojo.
I was going to say, I'm not a big one that really worries about players' expressions after the final siren. I think they've got every right to go and, you know, a lot of them are mates with guys that are on the other team. Right. They went through whatever. But you're right.
I agree.
They should be more self-aware and contextualize what they've just done and put into perspective the people, the stakeholders, the people that pay their wages, essentially. And that loss, you know, whilst, you know, we're talking about, you know, a loss to Essendon on the road, they're the kind of games that if we don't pick them up, We're not playing finals footy, and we're probably looking at being closer to 10th or 11th on the ladder rather than that 7th, 8th position. Yeah. So it means a lot to a lot of people, and I think when they put in a performance like that, which probably isn't up to scratch, and you know I think they've probably, or JL's probably admitted as much, it's not up to scratch, then look like they don't care afterwards, I think that kills people.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's right. I think people are – I think they've got enough in them to see when players do leave everything out there. You know, I don't think they would be as angry or be upset if that was the case. Just on your, you know, you just quickly before we move on, you're talking about the players that aren't getting it done and the experienced ones. In that last quarter, okay, we had six players with one or less disposals in the final term. And they were Blake Akers. Travis Collie had zero. Blake Akers had one. Collie had zero. Crowden had zero. Liam Henry had one. Sikowski one. Sonny Walters one. Essendon had two players, Jojo. Mac Welfi one. James Stewart zero. So, and I'm not hanging Liam Henry. He's in that position. I'm not hanging Sikowski. He's back from, you know, how long off he's had. But Akers, Collie, Crowden, and Sonny Walters. One or zero disposals. You know, they're the guys that we do look to get it done. You and it's that's where it's killing us, and that's where the upset's coming from fans.
I'll say, like, while you're saying it's, you know, you don't want to hang anyone, I'll hang the position and the role that a lot of those guys play. I mean, you talk about Crodens, Sikowski, Schultzes, Liam Henry, Sonny Walters. Our forward line at the moment consists of a hell of a lot of guys that are there to put forward pressure on. Yeah?
Yeah.
Tackle, win the ball back before it hits our defense, protect the defense, protect the midfield, lock the ball in.
Yeah.
You know, if these guys can't get their hands on it, and they haven't, I mean, we've got to redress the way we look at selection, even from a starting point in the forward line, because the guys aren't getting it done.
Well, they're not. And that's the big confusing ticket, is that you got blokes like, you know, as you just said, Crowden and Schultz. Okay, now, I don't want to put it all on one or two people, but they've been like that for 3 weeks now. So I don't understand how you know, Conker gets the tap on the shoulder because there are elements of his game he needs to work on, apparently. Yet those guys, Crowden and Schultz and Akers, I know he's not the forward, but Akers, if we're basing selection on performance, there's a lot of inconsistency there.
The Conker one, I know we're skipping around a bit now, but the Conker one, that was super weird for me. I don't get that at all. I think, sure, like, he might have elements of his game he's got to work on, but surely I could be wrong, maybe it got time completely out of whack, but wasn't it a couple of weeks ago we were kind of thinking, geez, Conker's having a ripper season, he's shutting everyone down, he played on Toby Green, did a decent job on him, you know, he's one of the best small defenders in the comp? Was that, how long ago was that?
2 weeks ago. No, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was.
And then the second issue I've got with him being the sub, sorry, is that why do you want a small defender as your utility man coming in as the 23rd man? Like, I realize he could probably pinch hit in the midfield if he has to, but sure, you want a player with a bit more utility coming in off the bench, because he's looking to cover an injury that could occur on any part of the ground.
Look what Nick Cox did when he came on. You know, he had a big last quarter.
He's a different maker, difference maker.
That's right.
You can run or you're tall, you provide height and an option to mark. I don't know. It's just Conker just seems like an extra soldier. And it's not really someone that you could bring in off the bench and make a massive difference to the contest.
No, that's right. I mean, I guess, who do we have that could do that?
But, I mean, isn't that like, so wouldn't that be a perk? People want to see Joel Weston make his debut.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I know you don't want to start him as a sub because it's just a crap way to start your career.
Yeah.
But surely someone with some pace, someone with something that, you know, something you can pull out of the bag, and, you know, some other bloke from Essendon he lines up on has been going hard for 100 minutes, and then, you know, we whip out a guy with some speed who just runs away from him, kicks a goal just because he's fresh. Like, we just didn't – I don't understand why you wouldn't use the sub to bring in a skill that you could exploit someone that was heavily fatigued.
Yeah, and if you thought that, then you could, at three-quarter or four, half-time, whatever, tap Conker on the shoulder then, mate, you've just done a hamstring. You better come off. You know, you could have used him in that role. So he comes off and the speech
the sacrificial lamb role.
Yeah. So just exploit the rule and, you know. Yeah, it was the whole Conker thing was so weird. I just did not. I didn't actually, when it came out.
The thing that's even weirder as well is that Tippin Woody is like a very, very dangerous player and someone who had a crap game but kicked 2 goals. So surely he was the ideal matchup for that guy.
Seemed it. Did Conker get the blame for not looking after Daniel Rich last week?
But wasn't he coming off the back line?
What?
Conker wasn't playing forward last week, was he?
No, but Daniel Rich was in the back line. Oh, sorry. No, I've got that wrong.
Yeah. Other way around. A bit wrong.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think this is another bit of a weird one. You know, we saw Sturt sent back after 1 week. And we're not to see him again for the rest of the year, probably now. And that was a strange decision. Like, you know, it justified by JL in future press conferences, but still, for me, that was a strange decision, giving a guy one game in the seniors for whatever reason and then sending him back. And then this Conker one, look, I got no problem with JL making a statement to, you know, a senior player or a player with experience who's under-delivering. But I feel like he's got a few mates and a few mates that are probably standing in front of him in line to have a bit of a statement made to them.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking at that today and I was thinking Schultz and Crowden. Those guys didn't get a kick last week. and Daniel Rich got 28 of them or 30 of them or whatever. So not when they weren't getting the ball, they still weren't getting, you know, okay, I'm not getting the ball, I'm going to shut down Daniel Rich. But those two guys got a walk-up start again this week. Very, very, very weird. I think there's something. I don't want to start rumors because I don't know anything, but it just doesn't feel like, it just feels like there's something not right down there, JoJo. Do you feel that?
Well, I think you can handle, as a supporter, you can kind of handle a couple of strange decisions that you don't understand because you can accept the fact that you're not in the four walls of the change rooms, you're not in the coaches' yep. meetings, you don't review the footage the way the assistant coaches do, you don't know the ins and outs. We just yep. watch it as fans. But I think when those strange decisions start to stack up,
yes.
then it makes sense that you try and say, well, what's going on? And if you can't understand it, then you come to the conclusion that you just did, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I think we've been talking about it in recent weeks, there's been quite a number of things. You know, the Luke Ryan, the injury, you know, he's 50-50 to play, but he's 2 weeks away on the injury list. Things like that. There's all these things happening. And you just, you know, so I spoke about the forwards or the team not being a cohesive unit. Maybe the whole club's not a cohesive unit, JoJo.
It's a different podcast. Something that I reckon is becoming, you know, a really substantial issue is the goal kicking. What do we kick? 8 goals, 13 this week, and I reckon, even in simplistic terms, that has pretty much cost us a chance at winning the game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
But the old saying of, you know, poor kicking's poor footy. Stands up in this instance as well.
It absolutely does. And, I forgot his name again. Aldo. Might be Aldo. Sorry, Aldo, if that's not your name. He sent us in and said, and I sent it to you, JoJo, what he said. Have you got that there? You haven't got it?
Jeez, question on no notice.
Yeah. He said about David Hale, you know, what's going on with the goal kicking? How do we fix it? You know, is David Hale the right man for the job along those lines?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer. Like, what is he? Maybe he's not the right man.
David Hale. We're going to blame David Hale for a guy missing a shot from 15 metres out straight in front.
I don't know what's going on down there, JoJo. I don't know who to blame. I'm not blaming David Hale. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, it's a concentration thing. It's an engagement thing. These guys are going to accept the responsibility and kick the goals. I mean, do you ever play cricket as a kid?
Yeah.
So if you're fielding in the slips and the fast bowler's coming in, you get the edge in the first over and someone puts it down,
yeah.
the next catch is a million times harder to make. These guys have got to understand that when they miss a shot from straight in front, the pressure multiplies on the next guy taking a shot. And that guy misses, the pressure's passed on to the next guy. Like, we just can't keep missing these lay-down Mazaire shots in front of goal. Because it affects team morale. It affects how people go in for the footy, how they communicate, how they act as a team. You've got to put them away. You've got to put the score on the board. You've got to get reward for an effort. You know, you always get told the forwards just finish off the rest of the team's hard work. Well,
yeah.
If the forwards aren't finishing off the rest of the team's hard work, what motivation is there for the rest of the team to work hard and present forwards opportunities?
No, that's right. I don't know on the weekend whether that many, you know, we're saying 20, 30 metres out directly in front.
Well, there was a couple that were close in front. And then there was a couple where you'd say we should be kicking 60 to 70% of these and, you know, on the 45 from about 30 or 35 out.
Yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, you should be nailing that.
But this is not park footy, mate. This is AFL footy. These guys are the best at what they do.
No, that's right. That's right.
And I think we let them off easy sometimes. You can't kick 8 goals, 13. I think there was a few from the boundary, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, Tabs kicked 4 goals, 3. Lob kicked 1 goal, 2.
And there's some out on the fools in that aren't counted. There's some dropping short. That's right. There's some absolute shanks in there that aren't counted.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Even David Mundy shank one.
That's what I mean. Well, it flows through the
contagious.
Team.
Yeah, that's right.
A guy that's
how do
named.
We, hang on. Well, what do we do? How do you fix that? You're the coach. You coach the. Who do you coach the?
Well, it's on the guy that takes the first kick. Nail it. Next guy, nail it. You've got it.
Well, that's a very simplistic, solution. I mean, that goes without saying, but Is it mechanical? Is it biomechanical? Whatever you want to call it. Is it?
Well, we just so happened to draft the collection of 38 or so players, or however many is on our list, that just can't kick for goal.
So
is that what it is?
I mean. So there's got to be a common denominator.
It's in the head, surely.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
It has to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can say what you want about Nat Fyfe's technique, but, you know, his field kicking, to be honest, as well. Everyone talks about his goal kicking. His field kicking's gone to the pooper as well.
Oh, it stunk on the weekend, didn't it? His confidence is shattered. You know, and it's not when he's in a contested situation where he's still getting the ball and he's still, you know, throwing blokes off and whatever. But the minute he's got the ball in hand and in space, his confidence is shattered. You can see his mind's ticking over, isn't it? So,
someone else who I reckon's confidence will be shattered is Michael Walters, and we talk about him every week.
Yeah,
but nothing's going to be done. I'm at the point now where I reckon that he's almost just in the team to hold his value because he looks like he doesn't want to be there half the time.
Oh, I don't agree.
You keep sticking up for him, mate. It's one poor game after the other.
No, I don't agree. I tell you what I was thinking about, right? And I think his effort was there yesterday. I think, and I'm not convinced it's attitude and, you know, and I still believe that his will and his desire is there. But I honestly think there is such a disconnect between the mids and the forwards themselves. You know, as we were saying earlier, they don't operate as a cohesive group. You know, Henry, Schultz, Crowden, Lobb, Tabs, they don't create space.
That's all we're hearing about this year is the connection problem yep. between mids and forwards. If yep. the forwards wanted to solve that problem, they'd lead up at the ball.
So why aren't they?
Well, there you go. I'm just saying. Michael Walters is part of that. He could lead up at the footy. I mean, I know he starts high, but, I mean, he's part of that forward line. And he's a senior player. He's played a lot of footy in the AFL. A lot of those other guys haven't. Him and Tabs have. Lobb has. So he's one of the guys. And, you know, I just think what we're getting out of him at the moment, it kind of bewilders me. He is a quality footy player. And he's not living up to it.
Tell me this, right? He had 15, 13, 16, 17 touches, whatever. Right? He kicked one goal, one. He dropped a sitter, absolutely dropped a sitter. That was he marks that he kicks a goal. What are we saying about his game? He's at 16 possessions, two goals, we probably win the game.
No, but you don't play the game on the stat sheet, though. I mean,
no, I know.
So one of those goals was from Chera, like hitting him in a, you know, a needle in a haystack pass inside 50 where he kicked the goal.
Yep.
I'm just saying we don't see the impact from him going initiating stuff. I'm used to seeing him create, you know, and I don't think we're getting the best creative version of Michael Walters. I'm happy you disagree with me because it's good to have a contrarian thought, but I refuse to accept he's happy with his role at the moment, and I don't think he's giving it everything he's got.
I think he's not in hot form, but I think he's suffering as a product of his environment. In that forward line environment. Having said that, Sonny, I cannot lose any more money on you. I just can't. It was bin day today, JoJo. I'm out picking up aluminium cans. You take them down to the exchange, try and pay for the money I lost him on the weekend. I can't lose any more, JoJo. I just can't.
You mentioned a few of those guys earlier, Akers, Croden, Schultz, those kind of boys, Collier. Are the games coming too easy?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly.
There's no pressure. There's no pressure from underneath.
Nah.
Everyone just getting a bit comfortable.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a good point. I honestly, and again, if we're basing selection on performance, then how can you say that? Because those three are in the team every week. So I don't know what's going on with Akers. Akers is taking the ball. He's taking marks in plenty of space and stopping. Now, I don't know whether that's.
There's nothing to kick to.
Yeah, but you can't know that from yesterday when we're watching it on TV.
I reckon you could see enough instances where you could see there was nothing coming. There's still enough aimless hand passing and sidestepping and looking up and down and around. Well, if there was some, if there was an option running at you and you got ball in hand and you're under pressure, surely you dispose of it.
Yeah, I just think he's in that. I just don't think he can think fast enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, if that's the case in that game yesterday, and there's not, do the Zach Tui. Sink the torpedo. Sink it 70 metres down the ground. Because the minute we stop, we're kicking to a contest anyway. So you might as well kick it 70 metres down the ground to a contest.
So, I don't know. I think these kind of games that we had yesterday, they make you think more macro. Like, where's the club at? What are we doing? Are we on the right track? And without going down the path of, you know, did we start the restump properly? What are we doing? For me, that kind of result doesn't really change what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, the guys that we needed to see improved performances from, we got.
Yep.
The guys that are probably on the block to be replaced at some point did what they did.
Yep.
It's disappointing to get a loss like that, especially when you can, you know, it feels like we stole defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yep.
But when you think about it, in the real scheme of things, it doesn't change a hell of a lot.
No, I'm totally with you. And the last 3 weeks still haven't changed where, you know, I think we thought we'd be at the start of the year. You know, I generally believe we're still on track for 8 or 9 wins. I think the one worry I've got, we keep going on about our injuries, but Alex Pearce and Joel Hamlin, there are question marks over them forever, you know, about their ability to get back and stay up. Okay. Luke Ryan and Hayden Young. Apart from those two guys, we've got our best team out there.
Oh, and Chapman, you'd say as well.
And Heath Chapman, sorry, yeah. So, and again, they're all defenders. So that's the scary bit for me is while we have got these injuries, our best team, 90% of our best team's on the park. And that's a little bit of a concern. Because
we're in desperate need for wingers and forward help.
Yes. Yep. We need some good fast wingers. And see, that's what we went to the draft to get, JoJo. That's what, you know? And we didn't get them. And I know they weren't going to be do much this year anyway. Maybe Joel Weston, you know, develops or something. I don't know. But, the Akers and H combo. And I don't want to knock James H because I thought he had a reasonable game. But they're just not players that are going to take us to being competitive, you know, for the ultimate success on a regular basis.
And I think the problem is missing those kinds of players. I mean, they're the kinds of players that, you know, after the ball's been won and you win the clearance, those are the guys spreading, and those are the guys on the end of the chain to finish off the work, whether it be the wingers or it be the, you know, those outside mids, then trying to hit up the forwards. So if you don't have quality in those areas, either the outside runners or the forwards, none of the work that we're getting done in the rest of the ground, whether it be the back line or inside mid, is really getting the reward it deserves, right?
No, it's exactly right. So it's sort of a double hit. If you're slow moving the ball into the forward line, you're struggling there. And if you haven't got the skills to deliver, you know, you're dead right. If you haven't got that speed and the skill to deliver it, you're massively behind the eight ball. Luke Ryan will make a massive difference, JoJo. And I know it's the other end of the ground, as I said, but he's one that will straighten us up and just give us a bit more, allow us to have a bit more attack off the back line.
No, absolutely. I think that he's probably the guy that we're missing more. When Fife doesn't play, we miss him a lot. When Luke Ryan doesn't play, it's just couldn't be more evident of the player we're missing. We're missing the halfback general. We've got no direction at the moment. And I think we look rudderless, and that's why we look like we don't have a game plan, is because he's not back there. You start to see exactly how important he is.
That's a good term. We are rudderless without him. So
We've got Sydney this week, back at home, Optus Stadium, 5:40 on Saturday, I think.
Yep.
I'm not too confident against Sydney. Sydney, although they've been a little bit up and down, they're going to be a tough opponent.
Yeah, they're going to be really tough. But as silly as it sounds, I generally think we're a chance against them. Because
last year we beat them, 50-19 or something?
Something like that, wasn't it? So maybe if we can go back to 16-minute quarters. I just think they're at the same stage as us, like in their, you know, growth or development, whatever you want to call it. But there's that level of unpredictability, and they are hot and cold. So back on our deck, you know, the pressure's building. We've got to have to bring greater effort than we brought yesterday. And think about it. Sydney have beaten the Giants and the Gold Coast. The Giants and the Gold Coast have beaten the Swans. You know, they beat Geelong when Geelong weren't going that flash. They beat Richmond when they weren't going that well. They're not infallible. The Swannies are definitely not infallible. But it's not
absolutely not. But I think they should prove to be a more formidable opposition than what the Bombers were.
They will, yeah. Just the difference about it being over here. So that brings us into the game, I think.
Well, I look forward to going to the footy. We haven't been for a few weeks, so it'd be good to get out to Optus Stadium, maskless on Saturday night.
Maskless.
Yep.
Oh, mate, that's good. I thought you'd be one who was still scared, Jodo. I thought you'd still be double masking.
Did you hear Damien Hardwick this week complaining about having to make the drive and not being able to play at the MCG, having to go all the way to Marvel Stadium to play their home games?
Yeah, they had to go, what, 3 Ks? 3 kilometres?
Do you reckon he's being serious?
This can't, he can't be. See, this has got to be deflection strategy, Jodo. You know, they're starting to come off the boil, the Tigers. The pressure's starting to come in a bit. That's got to be because you can't be that tone deaf, surely. Can you?
Pretty strange stuff.
Isn't it? If it's true, if it was a genuine thing, it just proved to us that the Vicks they live in a bubble and they've got no clue. If we didn't already think that, there's evidence of it.
I thought the other result of note, our good friend Maddie. She got a win as North took out Hawks.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming, didn't you? You knew it was coming. They were going to knock someone off, and the Hawks have been the ones.
How about the Hawks, I tell you? If you're on a losing streak, you take refuge in the fact that you look up the fixtures and see when you play them.
You say that. They haven't tried. They've tried to do something pretty similar to what we're trying to do. You know, they didn't want to go to the bottom of the ladder, Hawthorn.
Yeah.
You know, with us, and I'm not saying we're doing it now, but I mean, that original re-stump strategy of trying to bring in Hogan, we brought in Lobb, we brought in a few guys from other clubs, just shows how hard it is. And you try and take that little shortcut, even if it's just a short dirt track, you know, you're not taking the full shortcut. It really doesn't seem to pay dividends at all.
Doesn't, does it? You can only do it when you're at your top. You know, you like Hawks did, that, you know, they brought in Frawley and the guy from the Bulldogs, the backman that killed us in the grand final, forgotten his name, who won the Norm Smith. But you can only do it when you're at your peak.
Brian Lake?
Brian Lake. Then you can cover, you know, because when you're at your top and you bring players like that in, those players play better.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, they're trying to do. I think you're right. I got a thing here, JJ, quickly. The AFL trying to reduce collisions, right? Now, we're trying to mitigate injuries through collisions and head clashes and whatnot. I think that watching yesterday's game and a few games over the weekend, we've taken it to a level where we're now asking players to do what is physically impossible. And that is pull up on the spot, you know, before if someone takes a mark, you cannot be a fraction late. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the slightest bit of contact now and someone takes a mark, 50-metre penalty, whatever. You can't. So now you can't give your man any space whatsoever to try and guard, you know, the zone or whatever. You've got to be on your man because you're at a disadvantage now. Because of that. And it's just, it's they're overcorrecting. The AFL is overcorrecting on it. And it's frightening where the game is heading if this is indicative of how the game's going to be officiated going forward.
But isn't that the way they do introduce anything now? Like the pendulum swings too far and it comes back. Too far, it's just the way it's just the way things happen these days.
Yeah, God. And you reckon we'll get through a period then it'll straighten up.
Yeah, but it'll be something else then.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll move on to something else. Last thing I thought that would be interesting for you is a 42-year-old Ben Cousins making his debut for Queen's Park in the local amateur footy league. Somehow it's front page news. I kind of feel like, I don't want to say I feel sorry for him, but you kind of feel a bit sorry for him. He just wants to play a game of footy and he's on the front page of the West.
I tell you what, I'll guarantee you, JJ, there will definitely be a worthy time of us weighing in on the Ben Cousins soap opera, but a simple return to the field, not that time yet. there'll be a time that we'll get involved. Do you know what I would like though? I would love now that suddenly the Carr brothers are catching up for a drink somewhere. And they, should we go back and pull the boots on? They're playing. Imagine that in the metro. The kind of excitement that would bring that's been missing from football, JoJo. Daniel Kerr, he would get a get all these guys back in to the amateur league. I'd do that. Get him back in there. I mean, wouldn't that light the spark in more ways than one?
Mate, I got no idea how you go and play. Like, I know it's only amateur footy, but 42, I'm 40. There's no way I could play a game of footy.
Well, you know what it says. You know what it does. Imagine the anti-drug people. What sort of a message is that to the kids? 42 years old, I've been on ice my whole life. Look at me. I look ripped. I'm playing footy. They're going, the anti-drug people, they're going, oh, no. How are we going to combat this?
No.
He does look good though, doesn't he, for 42 years old.
Hey, it's unreal. We had a bloke called 8 Bucks play with us at our uni. And I think
eight
he played.
Bucks?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah, that's a good story in itself. Because no one knows the real story. That was one of the after game moments. Someone would be responsible for telling the story of how 8 Bucks got his nickname.
Got his nickname. Yeah.
But he played like 400 and something games, and he played to the late 40s. And just like, how the hell is someone doing that? I've got no idea now that I'm 40 how anyone does that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. No, good on him. I'm in two minds. I feel a bit, the domestic abuse issue and all the people that he's affected.
Definitely.
You know, you feel a bit for those people, but at the same time, you want him to get his life back on track too, you know. So, and if this is helping it, you know, by helping him get his life on track, it helps everybody else too. So,
yeah, that's it, for sure. Yeah. Well, let's hope Freo can get back on track on Saturday night. I think I said it last week, I'd love a win. I think I'd like a win even more this week. give me a win.
It's like the goal. You keep missing goals. The next bloke gets on. Keep missing wins. The pressure builds. We just desperately need one, JoJo.
You know, I didn't have any expectations until I started, start reading up a little bit before the game, whatever. I'm quite confident about this week. We should put in a good show. Expectation builds, and then all of a sudden they're just rock bottom again. Anyway, whatever. We'll look forward to Sydney. I'll talk to you on Monday. But until then, are you still okay with the restump?
Oh, look, the tragedy of Fremantle football is not that we regularly lose, but that we almost won.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.